Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, a guy named Jim, he had a problem. He needed to move a refrigerator. And if anyone of you has ever tried to move a refrigerator, you know that they're pretty heavy, right? And so Jim, he called his friend Richard, and he said, "Hey, listen, Richard, I have a refrigerator that I need help moving. Would you mind coming over?" And Richard said, "Yeah, absolutely, man. What are friends for?" And so Richard makes his way out there, and he knocks on the door, and Jim opens the door, and they come into the entryway, and there's the refrigerator. And so they kind of look at each other. They're like, "Well, we know what we're here for." And so they each got on a different side of the refrigerator, and they lifted it off the ground, and then they began to push. And something weird happened. No matter how hard they pushed, no matter how hard they pulled, that refrigerator wouldn't budge. They could not get it to move even 2 inches in the direction that they wanted it to go, and they're just baffled. And so 5 minutes turns into 10 minutes, turns into 15 minutes, and you know, they've just got veins are bulging, and sweat is pouring down their faces, and their faces are just beet red. And finally, they just like put it down, and Richard, he takes a handkerchief, and he wipes the sweat off of his brow, and he says, "You know, Jim, I never thought moving a little tiny fridge into your kitchen could be so difficult." And Jim looked at Richard and he said, "What are you talking about? We're supposed to be moving the refrigerator out into the yard to throw it away." See, they didn't talk about where the thing was supposed to go. And so they were both doing all the work. They were both working so hard and trying to do something, and yet nothing was accomplished because they were actually working against one another. They didn't talk about where they wanted to go. And for us as a church, so often we forget to talk about where we want to go. We don't communicate what is it that we want to see happen in the future. What is the direction that we are seeing for this year? Because a weird thing happens. A weird thing happens is that we can think that we're all doing great things, but then we end up doing things that oppose the things that other people are doing, and then nothing gets done. Nothing happens. It deteriorates our effectiveness, and so we need to work together. Now, if you've given your life to Jesus, you believe that Jesus has given you a great gift, a gift of forgiveness, a gift of life eternal, that he has restored that relationship that humanity lost when they rebelled against God, that we now have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ when we put our trust in him. And that's a marvelous gift. And if you're here today and you haven't accepted that gift, you might be tempted to think, "Oh, great. Somehow I ended up in a church." That's the first confusing thing. And now I'm here and you're talking about stuff that's just to do with your church. And so you might be feeling like maybe it's time for you to leave. And I want to encourage you to go ahead and stay. And now, don't get me wrong, at any time, if you feel like you need to leave, you can. We won't look down on you. We won't, we won't kick you as you leave or anything like that. But I hope that you'll sit down and that you'll listen, because you're here for a reason. And hearing what our church is all about, what we want to be doing as we go forward this year, I believe it's important for you to hear. See, we're talking about the heart of our church and what God wants us to do. And that's an important thing. Now, part of placing your trust in Jesus, because the majority of us have, part of placing your trust in Jesus is seeking to live as he wants you to live, seeking to do what he wants you to do. Because you see, we've joined Christ's church. When you choose to follow Jesus, you have joined the body of Christ, which is Christ's church. And Christ's church has been called for a purpose. Okay, us, when we gather together, the body of Christ, it has a purpose that God has in mind for us. And he wants us to be pushing forward in the same direction, going forward into that purpose. And today, I want to share with you where this church, where Abundant Springs Community Church is headed in 2018. But there's something about that, though. I don't just want to tell you what we're going to do. I don't just want to tell you, you know, how we're going to go about doing the business of the church. The first thing that I want to do is actually share with you why we are going to do what we do. It's really easy to say, well, why are you going out there and doing this ministry? Well, because we're a church. But that's not why. That's nothing. That's who we are, is a church. That doesn't explain why we do what we do. And so will you join me in praying just before we get into this? Because I truly believe that today we need prayer. We need to hear from God and His Holy Spirit so that we can know the direction that we want to go and so that we can be impacted by Him. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank You today that we can look in the Bible, that we can look at these words that You've given to us, that have been passed down to us over the centuries, Lord Jesus. And I thank You that You have preserved them through the power and strength of Your Holy Spirit, God, so that they come to us unmolested. Lord Jesus, today, as we look at Your words, Lord, will You just show us and guide us the direction that You have for us as a church, but also, Lord, show us our role in all of this. And God, I ask that as I speak today, that You'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to share and that You'll make them something worthwhile through the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So why are we going to do what we're going to do? Really, this is summed up in Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. And this is something I don't want to get too deep into it. We've talked about this before, and most of you are probably familiar with this, but I'm going to read it to you right now. Matthew tells us this: "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And He said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" So the first reason why we do what we do here at Abundant Springs is we do it as a response to what Jesus did for us out of an overwhelming love for Him. Okay? We do what we do as a response to what Jesus did for us out of an overwhelming love for Him. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is that God loves us, and we love God because, let's face it, Jesus came to earth. He died for us. He enabled us to come to this place where we can follow Him. And everything that we do, we don't follow the words in this book just because we want to be good people. We don't follow the words that are in this book because we think that by doing so, God's going to love us. Because He already does. He sent His Son for us. We follow the words in this book because we have been overwhelmed by the love of Jesus Christ, by His actions on the cross for us. And so we follow as a response to Jesus because we love Him so much. So the first reason why we do what we do, the reason why we gather on Sundays, is because we love Jesus. The second reason we do what we do is because we have a desire to see Pincher Creek and beyond find a relationship with Jesus. Now, if you're astute, you may be thinking, Pastor Stephen, Jesus did not in that passage say that the second commandment is a desire to see Pincher Creek and beyond find a relationship with Jesus. What are you talking? He said it's to love your neighbor.
That's right.
But you see, that's the thing. I love my neighbor, and so I have a desire to see them, to see Pincher Creek and beyond, find a relationship with Jesus. I want that because I love them, okay, because I care about them. And we live in this culture, though, that tends to think that it's unloving, that it's judgmental to look at other people and to share our beliefs with them, to tell them that, you know, you need to come to Jesus. This is what Jesus did for you. People will look at you and they'll be like, no, don't do that. You know, you have your truth, and I have mine, but don't infringe on my truth. Don't infringe on my understanding of the world. You know, I have my own beliefs, and I'm comfortable here. Or, you know, don't try to infringe on that. That's my culture. You can't mess with that. But you need to understand that we do so out of love. See, if you don't love your neighbor, then you won't witness to them. If you love your neighbor, if you truly love them and you truly understand what it is to follow Jesus, what Jesus has done for you, if you love Jesus and you love your neighbor, then you will have a desire to see Pincher Creek and beyond find a relationship with Jesus. That's just what it is. And so those two things, this love for Jesus as an overwhelming response, and love of our neighbor in the desire to see Pincher Creek and beyond find a relationship with Jesus, this is the why of what we do here at Abundant Springs. This is why we exist, is to speak into these people's lives. It's to worship Jesus. That's why we exist. And so understanding why we are what we are, we then have to ask ourselves, what is it that we're to do? What does a church do? What is the point of being the church? What do we do as Christians, as members of a church? And again, Jesus gives us the answer to this, and we find it in Matthew chapter 28. We read, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" You'll notice that I'm kind of picking up on passages in the Bible that are extremely familiar to most of us. In fact, they're so familiar that they both are given the word great when we describe them. The one is the great commandment. The other one is the great commission. And so the great commandment tells us why we do what we do. And the great commission tells us what we are to do. And so the first thing we're to do is Jesus told us to go into the world. To go into the world. That means our neighborhoods. That means our community. That means our nation. That means our world. And so the offering that we took for Erdo over the Christmas holidays, that was us trying to get into the world, to help others in the world, and doing that through an organization that, as it brings help, will also open up the doors for the gospel to be shared. Our encouraging you over and over again to get to know your neighbors is us desiring to have people go into the world. See, the point of being a Christian, we need to gather together. Don't get me wrong in that, but we need not to huddle together. Okay? As Christians, we shouldn't be huddling together and covering our heads and going la 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 la, and while the whole world burns around us. That's not the point of faith. What we need to do is actively go into the world. But understand, when I say actively go into the world, what I don't mean is that you're like, I love getting drunk, so I'm going to the bar tonight, and I'm just going to go into the world by hitting the can, or hitting whatever, I don't know, hitting the bottle. There it is. No, that's not what I mean. But, what if you're someone who feels called to go into the bar because your friend is going there and invited you, and you're going to be a witness to them and have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them? If you're a recovering alcoholic, do not do that. But otherwise, if that's what you feel that God is calling you to do, we're called to go into the world, not to hide from the world. Jesus has told us to make disciples. You know, so often we look at going out and witnessing as if we've got like a checklist, right? If I share the gospel, I hit them over the head with the Bible, someone's going to fall, they're going to pray, and I check them off my list. You know, and we've done this for years, and so you think, like, for these people, of the hundreds of people that have given their lives, have converted to Christianity, how many of them are truly growing in their faith? How many of them even are truly following Jesus at all? Because, see, we were never called to make converts. We've always been called to make disciples, to have people come alongside us and to teach them, to show them the way, to be good examples, to help them grow. And listen, each of us is called to be a disciple as well, because Christianity is a process. It's not a moment. Jesus has told us to teach others to be like Jesus. He told us to make disciples and to show them this is the path that we walk. This is the way that we go. And Jesus has told us to encourage people to enter a committed life, reborn in his image. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we need to make sure that they understand when they make this commitment that it is a commitment. That Christianity is a process. That it is something that a path we walk from now until eternity. And so what is baptism? Baptism, when we take these people and we dunk them under the water and people look at us like we're crazy, what it is it's a public declaration of their faith. They're showing other people. They're like, listen, when I go under that water there, it symbolizes me being washed clean by the blood of Jesus. It symbolizes me dying to who I once was. And when I come back up, I am clean. I am reborn in the image of Jesus Christ. I am a new creation. So this is what we are to do. This is the essentials of what it is to be Christians. It's to go into the world. It's to teach others, be taught ourselves, and make a commitment that lasts a lifetime. And so who is it that we're focusing on reaching? Again, we can go to Matthew for this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. And he reads this. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. See, us as a church, I believe that we need to focus on those that God has placed around us wherever we go. And on those who are outcasts, the downtrodden, and the less fortunate. That's who we need to be going to. When I say that we need to focus on those that God has placed around us, I'm referring to those in our immediate circles, like our neighbors. They're right there, right? Our coworkers. I understand that some workplaces, you can't discuss that kind of stuff, but you can still be a witness through your actions and through your life. And through little things like, hey, what are you doing on the weekend? Oh, well, I'm excited for church. There you go. You just witnessed, and they can't get you in trouble for that. They asked. You know, we are called to these people that are placed around us. And it's wherever we go, because if you move from Pincher Creek, it's not like you're like, well, you know, now that I'm so far away from the people that God placed around me, I'm off the hook. No, it's wherever you go, whatever you find, whoever you find that Jesus has put beside you, these are people that he has placed strategically for you to impact. But not only that, we also need to focus on those who are outcast, the downtrodden, the less fortunate, those who are ignored by society or put down by society, or those that we ourselves ignore. Listen, too often we focus on the people that we're comfortable around, right? Like, how often do churches end up looking the same because everybody focuses on all the people that they like that are exactly like them? They look like them, they sound like them, they talk like them, they think like them. And that's one of the reasons that we reach our neighbors. Yes, your neighbors are probably going to be in a similar demographic to you, but here's the thing. You don't get to choose your neighbors. And so you could have a neighbor move in next door who is totally different than you. And if you're committed to reaching your neighbors, you don't have a choice. Same thing with if we only reach those who are in the same economic class that we're in. Not that I want to refer to it as a class, but in many ways our society treats it that way, don't they? If we only reach out to those that are the same as us in that way and we don't reach out to others, then what are we really here for? What are we doing? Are we saying that we love the people that are like us, but somebody else can love those people? Here's an interesting thing. So often, those that we want to be around, those that we want to talk with, are people that act and believe exactly what we do. So how does a church then reach people for Jesus if the only people that we want to be around and talk to are people that believe exactly what we do? We can't. Because most people nowadays aren't just going to say, hey, there's a church there. Maybe I should go in and hear what they have to say. People do that as a response to relationships they have in their life. people who have impacted them time and time again through a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. So these are the people that we want to reach. Why do we want to reach them? We want to reach them because we want to respond to the love of God because we love Jesus so much. And because we love these people and we want nothing more than to see them experience God like we have experienced God. And so how will we reach them? By being Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered believers. Amen. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." And then he says, "So go." And there's this word in there. It says, "Therefore." He's saying, because all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, I am telling you to go, and you are going with my authority. And what does Jesus do? He says, "I'm giving you a helper." He says, "I go so that I can send the helper to you, and he will give you power so that you can be my witnesses." So we'll reach them by being Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered believers. Wherever Jesus went, as he spoke in the synagogues, he did miracles. He did signs and wonders. He spoke in marvelous ways. And listen, friends, when we are Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered believers, he can do the same through us. How will we reach them? By being people of prayer. We do not pray enough. I do not pray enough. I don't say this to put guilt on anyone, but every Sunday morning we have a pre-service prayer time. It goes from about 10 o'clock until 10:15, 10:20, and it's downstairs. And you know, the average Sunday, when I walk in there, there is one person. What if we committed ourselves, just a few of us, to starting to get up a little bit earlier and get to church just that little bit earlier? After all, we start at 10:30. It's not really that early. If you have a job, it's not that early. If you go to school, it's not that early. And so maybe commit to coming a little bit earlier and pray. Pray for our community. Pray for our church. Pray for the people in our church, the people that we want to reach. Pray in your own time. How will we reach them? We need the Spirit, and we need to be people of prayer. Furthermore, we will reach them by understanding that there are many who are ready to accept Jesus if someone will just give them a message of hope. You know, so often we worry because we think that we need just the right tactics to be able to reach people for Jesus. And we're like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I'm not eloquent enough. I don't have what it takes. But Jesus told the disciples, the harvest is ready. The fields are white with the harvest. Okay, it's like, if it doesn't get harvested now, it may never get harvested. That's how late in the season this harvest was. And he's saying, but their laborers are few. Pray that he'll send more laborers to work in the harvest. And so listen, each and every one of us is called as people who follow Jesus to go out and work in the harvest. And so what may happen is that you may share your faith with people, and there are going to be people that are like, "You're an idiot, go away. I never want to talk to you again." And then you just pray for them and you go away. There are people who are going to listen to you and nothing is going to seem like it happened, but you know, harvest is cyclical. And so maybe you're planting seed, maybe you're tilling the soil, whatever it may be, you're doing something, God is doing something. But this is the big thing that I want you to understand. While we are standing here, the Holy Spirit is at work in the hearts of every person on this planet, reaching out to them, encouraging them to come to himself. And people, I mean, we resist. We everything in us, we're like, we don't want to come to the light, because if we come to the light, then our works will be exposed. That's what the book of John says. And so we don't want that. But the Holy Spirit, some people then, over time, they become receptive to that, and they hear things, and there's a seed planted, and the harvest begins to grow in them. And sometimes you're going to come up to someone, and you're just going to share that message of hope. You're going to share what Jesus has done in your life, and they're going to just break down in tears, and they're going to say, "I need you to pray for me." Because here's the thing you need to know. When it comes to the harvest, Your job is not to make the harvest grow. It is to be the one that reaps the harvest that God has caused to grow. So go into the fields and be a laborer there. Give them the message of hope and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work with the knowledge that there are going to be people. Maybe it's 1 in 100. Maybe it's 7 in 10 who respond to the words that you speak as you show them love. I know that this message is a little bit longer than normal. This is normally where I would end. and I'm not going to. This is what 2018 is going to look like. For teaching and building community amongst one another, we're going to have our Sunday services and we're going to have our community groups. Those are going to keep on going. And I encourage you to participate in those. Come to service, join a community group, and allow yourself to really just connect in to the Christian community, to be taught and to be encouraged. We're also going to be making, as we talked about at the end of last year, accessibility upgrades to this building throughout the first part of this year. We hope to be done before September kickoff. Because this building was built in a day and age where they maybe didn't consider that stairs might be difficult for some people, you know? And we don't want people to look at our building and go, you know, I want to go in, but those stairs. And so what we want is that no matter where someone is in life, if they're in a wheelchair, if they're in a walker, they just really hate stairs, that they can come into our church and that they can be reached with the gospel, that they can experience Christian fellowship. We're going to be encouraging people to prayer. We did this a lot last year. You're probably going to hear me continue to encourage you to pray, praying in your own time, praying throughout the day, and maybe getting up that extra half hour early to make it out to pre-service prayer. We're going to be reaching families of all income levels and bringing them together with something called Pinewood Derbies. If you don't know what a Pinewood Derby is, just Google it and you'll see tons and tons of stuff. Basically, you give people a kit and it's got a block of pine and some axles and wheels and instructions on how to do this. And families can make these little cars and they can design them really nicely or they can just make them to go as fast as they can make them go, and then we'll hold some rallies where families can come together and these parents who have been helping their kids getting together and doing some hands-on work, because frankly it's just a block of pine. You can do if you're patient, you can use sandpaper to make it what you want it to be, you know, and they're going to race it down there. We're going to have prizes and games. We're going to gather the community together. And listen, we actually have people. These kits aren't going to be expensive, $5-$10, but we've actually secured the financing where if there's people that want to do this and they don't have the money, that we're going to be able to provide some of these kits to these people at no cost to them. Because we want everyone, no matter what station of life they're in, to be able to participate in this and to be able to be brought in. And I know it doesn't really sound like some crazy Christian outreach event, but sometimes you just need to draw the community together and let them see that family is important and that the church cares about them and the church wants to connect them to their kids for them to realize the power of the gospel. We're going to be giving opportunity for those wanting to know more about Jesus, whether they're churched or unchurched, to discover what he's all about through the Alpha course in the fall. The Alpha course has been redone for any of you that maybe went through it back in the 80s or 90s and, I don't know, slept through it. I don't know. I never did it, but it's been revamped. It has, all kinds of testimonies from public figures and, a lot of stuff. It digs into every corner of what it is to be a Christian, answering as many questions as it can over about a 10-week period of time. And so that's going to be something that we need to be willing to volunteer for. We're going to partner with other churches in our community if they're willing to help out to make this happen. But it's something that I truly believe is going to help us if you have questions, and it's also going to be something great, a great opportunity to invite those friends that maybe you have and know they have questions and maybe you feel like you don't have the answers. Because here's the thing. You can say, why don't you come to this thing? They're going to answer your questions, and there's great food. And they didn't hear anything you said before great food. You probably don't even know what I said before great food. And so that's the key. And so we're going to be bringing people into that. And finally, my challenge to you this year is this. Get to know the people around you and invite, invite, invite. Get to know the people around you and invite, invite, invite. Invite them over for dinner. Invite them for a games night. Invite them to a church function. Invite them to Sunday morning service, to your community group. Invite them to go bowling with you. I really don't care what you're doing. Just invite them. Get to know them. Love them. Bring them into our church. I think we have a pretty good church. Get to know the people around you and invite, invite, invite. Will you close your eyes for a moment? I want you to imagine with me, if we began to be people who did this, who went out there, and because of our love for God and our love for the world, as we go out and we do these things, as we get to know the people around us and invite, 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 imagine with me a church with one hand in the kingdom of God and one hand in our community. A church that is undeniably Christian while caring unconditionally for the souls of all God's children. A church that accepts the unacceptable person and asks the Holy Spirit to work within them. A church that is uncompromising in its values and in its reliance on God's Spirit. A church that has compassion on the sick and the needy, the widow and the orphan, the broken family and the broken individual. A church that people call home, a church body that people call family. Imagine this being a church where people undeniably experience God's power through the gifts of His Holy Spirit being used by all God's people. A church where people grow in their faith with Christ, where inclusive groups meet together to teach and support one another and to help others within and without their group. A place where mentors seek out disciples and teach them what it means to be like Jesus. A place where it's not left to the church building to attract people, but where the church body reaches their neighbors and friends and community for Christ and brings them in. Imagine this being a church that is always growing, and not just in numbers, but in relationship with Jesus. A church that through Jesus' blessings reaches its fullest potential. A church where people love one another and love Christ, where young and old, rich and poor, believer and unbeliever commune together in God's presence and come to know Him and worship Him together. Imagine this becoming a place that can truly be described as God's church, a church that reaches the unchurched and strives to disciple believers to be like Jesus because of its congregation's knowledge of Jesus' love for them, their love of Jesus, and their love for all humankind. Friends, that's the church that I see us becoming more and more like this year. And you are a part of making that happen. So let's get to know the people around us and let's invite them. Let's invite them to church. Let's invite them to Alpha. Let's invite them to our homes. Because God has a great work He's going to do through you and through all of us working together.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who He is and what He's all about. I want you to know that God, in His infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so He came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that His death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart,
I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.